Good afternoon. Welcome to the second hour of the Monday programme, which means, as always, we're talking all about books. And this week, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the studio Becky Kilsby, who's head of programming at the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature. Becky, great to see you.
Thanks, Siobhan. It's lovely to be here.
It's been a while.
It's been a while, actually, yes. I think it might have been almost this time last year when we were here discussing books with the Festival Reading Group.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just me this time.
But now you're also head of programming now, which is really exciting.
Yes,
I bet you're busy.
This is just such a wonderful story for me because I've loved literature and I've worked around the peripheries of literature all my adult life. I've taught literature in school. I've tried to teach it in university, but I'm never in the right place to actually do that. But I've done a lot of tuition around that and design my own courses and so on. I've been really enthusiastic about it. But I've also been involved with talking of books as well, so yeah. I've done a lot of reviewing. Anyway, it's a big passion of mine, but for various reasons, I've never really had the career move I wanted until now. So this is a wonderful story, I think, for anybody who's, let's say, in their middle age.
Well,
I certainly am. But it's wonderful because it means you don't know what's around the corner. And this is a wonderful role that just allows me to bring my love of books to the fore. Also, considerable planning skills required. So this is something else, you know, that is exciting about it. And it's just a wonderful team, Siobhan. And I think that's such a big thing in where you work. If you get on with the people you work with, if you're all working towards the same thing, it's the most stimulating environment. So, yes, you could say I'm quite happy about the fact that I've been recently appointed.
Well, big smiles on your face, so I can definitely tell that you are. And it is, I love the festival. And, you know, have done from the year it started. And every year we had Isabel, of course, in the studio last week, who's just always just overflowing with so much passion and enthusiasm that you can't help but love it. It's infectious, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And you need people like that, don't you, with that amount of energy and commitment. Because this is going to be our fifth festival in March next year. So that's amazing. But just think about what it must have been like to launch the first one, you know, to convince people that it could actually work in Dubai, because it's always an unknown quantity, isn't it? If you're bringing something that's been successful in other parts of the world to the region, maybe for the first time, who knows how it's going to go down. But I think from year one, it's been a great success.
Definitely. And from year one, it's always had a fantastic lineup of authors as well. And I know, obviously, not to be revealed just yet.
No.
You've got a great lineup for next year, I'm sure.
Yes, it's very exciting. I still haven't got over the fact of the names that keep popping into my inbox, you know, so that pleasure is every day.
I know, I imagine it's sort of like, because you love reading, because you're, you know, very much into this whole world, I suppose it's like a dream come true. It's like meeting these people that you've always wanted to meet and that you've read their books and you admire so much. It's sort of like a dream come true, isn't it?
Indeed. I mean, you're trying very hard not to call me a literary groupie, aren't you? But there is something of that to it. And you're right. It's a real pleasure to meet people in the flesh. And also, I think that's why readers love to come to the festival, to actually hear the backstories, where these wonderful books came from, and also individual stories of writers, you know, how they started, what their breakthrough was, and very often how late it was in their lives, which is also another interesting point, I think.
And I think also that they're all very accommodating, you know, it was always so relaxed and lovely, always happy to talk. You know, it was great. I've always enjoyed it, and I look forward to next year very much. But I'm sure you're going to be giving us the details, and we, as and when they come out, and who's coming, and
that's right. We'll be doing a kind of major reveal on that in the autumn.
Yeah.
At the moment, we're very much in the process of engaging authors. We've got a very strong lineup already. I can say that much. We've still got exciting names on the horizon, and we want to be able to pin that down and have the whole lineup in place before we actually reveal what's going on.
Can I ask you again? Sorry, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm wondering if you've incorporating, because obviously, you know, you can't ignore it, can you, what's happening with Kindles and online and all this sort of thing. Is that going to be an element at all?
Certainly, we're going to be talking quite a lot about the e-phenomenon in terms of blogging, for example, because a lot of writers use blogs as a way of getting their work published, self-published, you could say. Writers, whether whether they're interested in politics, society, fiction, poetry, all of these different areas, people can set up their own blog, start an interaction, get a following, and start interacting with other writers out there, actually. So that's been a very large phenomenon, I think, in publishing generally.
Well, I think the whole world has opened up, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
So much more so.
Absolutely. You know, there are opportunities there for people to actually see their work in print in whatever form that may take, you know, and it does happen that you can actually perhaps get on better that way. But we will be also having workshops, and one of the ones we're hoping to finalise is about how to get published and whether that's going to be an e-publishing route as well. So yeah, definitely it's not to be ignored, and so central to, you know, how people make their way in publishing these days.
I know, I was quite surprised actually, because Isabel said that she has a Kindle, and I was like, I got one for my birthday. Unfortunately, completely gathering dust, not used it. Much to Alexander McNabb's chagrin, who keeps bothering me about it. You've got one.
I've got one.
I was afraid to mention it to Isabel. I thought, no, I better not tell her I've got a Kindle.
Yes.
But you've got one too.
I have one, but it doesn't set my heart aflutter like a real book, I must say. And like we were saying off air before we began, I read differently on a Kindle, absolutely and completely. And I know why it is. It's because there's a button to press, and my little thumb is twitching.
You keep flicking it, do you?
And I keep reading too fast.
Right.
I keep reading too fast. And a prime example of that was when we read Hilary Mantel's, I know you talked about this last
week, Being Up the Bodies.
Fantastic book. Really enjoyed it. And I was enjoying it, pretty much. I started it on my Kindle because I didn't have the paperback book. But halfway through, the paperback arrived, and I thought, right, I'm going to change into book mode now. And I just enjoyed it so much more when I had that book. And I'll never know if the book picked up at that point.
Oh, okay. Or if it was
The actual physical experience of reading was different. And it's a very personal thing, I think, don't you?
No, definitely, yeah. That's interesting. And I think there's lots of other things as well. We were talking about the fact, you know, well, I suppose it's the cover, you know, and I would say many books, and we'd spoken about this, in fact, on a previous show with you, hadn't we? I think there was a book that had...
Annabelle.
Was it?
Yes, yeah. The hermaphrodite story.
One of the covers was, I mean, I would have taken it off the shelf immediately because it was an extremely engaging cover and it was like quite intriguing.
Yes.
And the other one was dreadful.
Yes.
Like, I wouldn't have gone anywhere near it.
Yeah.
So really, how, you know, can you judge a book by the cover? I don't know, but I think it certainly can attract people towards it. Whereas with Kindle, okay, you could buy it, download it with a picture of the cover, but I don't think it's quite the same, is it?
That isn't your decision, is it? Your decision with a Kindle is convenience and cost. And basically, you're sitting there at home, you finish a book, you think, okay, what am I going to read next? Boom, on you go to Amazon and flick through and find what, you know, is very quick and easy. Far too quick and easy, I have to say, because I've already built up quite a lot of books on my Kindle. But it's a very different experience. I mean, when you're browsing in a bookshop, the cover is absolutely part of your decision-making process. Absolutely. And not at all,
as
far as Kindle is concerned.
Going to become, I mean, if books are only published on the Kindle, because it's a shame. I mean, you know, there's a lot of really amazing graphics that go into it, and
yes,
I mean, that's a whole business entity that could be no more.
I know. I don't see the end of books. I really don't. Not in the immediate term, not in the, you know, longer term either. And I think when we've met in the Festival Reading Group and discussed this, some people have read on their Kindle, others in a real book. And what's very often missing in a Kindle is the maps, family trees, the glossaries that you might have in a paperback or hardback copy of a book. They're not always there in the Kindle edition. And neither is it as easy to flick back and forth and just remind yourself of who the heck that particular character is and how he's related to so-and-so.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's an interesting story, actually, Becky. There was a story, actually, from the Guardian I just picked up this morning, and they say that fiction that pushes at the limits of design, which could not be great for the Kindle. It says, as doom and disaster surround the paper book, writers are teaming up with graphic designers to push at the boundaries of what the novel can do. So incorporating different funky ways that the text is written, or incorporating images or pictures and things like that.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, I'm sure it's the next Mark Point whatever is coming out of the new Kindle will have these features in place. But yeah. I'm wondering if that would work.
Also, you know, that's a bit of a thing about how to keep the books running, isn't it? You know, to make those more attractive in a way, you know, maybe to have more pictures in those
really
as well.
So. I don't. Do you? Do we really need pictures?
I don't need pictures. Not at all. Not at all. No. But you know, there's a big market, isn't there, out there? I mean, the graphic novels, for example.
Yeah, massive.
You know, that's a very specific genre, I know. But nonetheless, it's a huge following. Very interesting, I think. So yes, it's exciting, actually, I think, to see how these things are going to influence each other.
Yeah, definitely.
And basically, if it works for the reader, it's going to work. It's going to, you know, be business.
It was quite interesting as well. We did a story, I think it was with Carlo, quite a while ago, and it was a story, I have to try and remember it top of my head, but it was about the books that people take with them on a date or go to a coffee shop or something like that. So you can be seen in the coffee shop, you know, reading Proust or Camus or Sartre if you want to look like you're an intellectual or, yes. You know, maybe something romantic, you'll pick another title or historian. So you'll be sit there with a book open. Of course, you can see it. Yes. Whereas with a Kindle,
oh no,
you can be reading anything.
Absolutely anything. Absolutely anything. No, you're absolutely right. And there was the whole phenomenon as well when Harry Potter was out. There was the adult cover and the children's cover as well, wasn't there? Because to begin with, adults felt a little bit embarrassed about
they were reading
getting into Harry Potter. And so, yes, it was published in two editions.
Oh, I didn't know that, right.
So I think people are always aware of that. Yes, so is it a designer statement? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, maybe. It's like secret. You can secretly read whatever you...
Yes.
Want to read.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Becky, we're going to take a quick break, and I know that you've got lots of books to review for us this afternoon. I'm looking forward to that. We've got lots of more stories as well, and we'd love to hear from you. What are you reading at the moment? What are you enjoying?